Life can be an extraordinary adventure. More than ordinary. In the gym. At home. At work. More than ordinary. Advice. Without the new agey bullshit.
Hi, welcome to More Than Ordinary, presented by Seven Generation Games. I'm Maria Burns-Ortiz.
And I'm Anne Maria DeMars, ready to rant.
We love having guests, but we thought we'd mix it up a little bit. You know, nothing's worse than predictability. So today, we decided we were going to turn it over to Anne Maria, who always has plenty to say, and today she doesn't really have to share it with any of our guests.
That's right. We said, you know, it's really tough to find people who are interesting, and we've kind of exhausted our list of interesting people.
I know you have lots and lots of topics that you have lots and lots of thoughts about. What would you like to start with today?
On stupid advice to female founders and other non-white male founders. I am constantly getting these things in my email saying, here, we're having this event for female founders. Now, I would think as a female founder of a company, it would involve things like money. Because if you're a startup, what you want is two things, investor funds and people using your product. Hopefully people paying money for your product and using it. But even your beta testers are really valuable. But no, it's not about how to get beta testers or how to get people to invest in your company or how to do a cap table. It's, well, how to feel the self-esteem that you can lean in.
And I don't know, maybe there's startups out here that have not had this issue. But generally, I find when I want to pay developers, they don't want to hear how great I think I am. They actually just want cash.
Right. And the thing that irks me about this is the assumption that what women need is more, here's how to have a seat at the table, and less, here's some actual money to invest in your company, to hire more animators, to hire more developers, because you can't do it all by yourself with no cash.
Well, and we're a very data-driven company, and the sad part about this, the frustrating part as well, is that the data basically shows that women founders are a better bet. You know, they return more money. They're able to fund their startup with, you know, fractional costs of what a lot of male startup-founded startups are. And yet, when you hear these investors who talk about, you know, we're metrics-driven and it's data-driven, and we look at metrics when we're investing in companies, I mean, they seem to then disregard all data when it comes to women founders.
Well, and I think it was you that quoted that statistic to me, about 3% of VC funding was going to women. And it's a real self-fulfilling prophecy that, again, really ticks me off, which is today's topic, is things that tick off Anne Maria, that you give women or minorities, African-Americans, Latinos, whatever group you want to pick, you give them less money by a large, large, large margin. And then you say, well, look, you know, those people can't produce good products. Well, if you have one person that's got $600,000, another person's got $3 million, and the person with $3 million produces a better product and gets to market faster, I don't necessarily think it's because whatever that race, ethnic group, age group, gender has a monopoly on all the good ideas.
It's kind of that idea that you've mentioned before in general is, you know, starting out on third base and making it home versus actually having to start and actually hit the home run yourself.
And relating to bad advice and things that make me want to rant, there's also a separate section within the federal government called Section 8A, which is for minority-owned businesses and disadvantaged businesses. And often when I would talk to people who were supposed to be mentors to small business and say, well, what would you recommend that we do? You know, you've got a lot of expertise in your field. Can you give me some good advice? And they'd say, well, are you certified Section 8A? First of all, we don't qualify for Section 8A. It's a really good idea, but you need to be below a certain income and net wealth threshold. And because Dennis and I have been, you know, socking money away at our 401k for years, we're above that. So I think it's a good program for people getting started out. We're not living on our private island rolling in $100 bills, but if you all bought our games, maybe we would, so that would be cool. But we don't qualify for it. The thing that irritates me, though, is what if I was a young white guy? What advice would you give me? And now, when I talk to older people that are supposedly mentors through, like, SCORE, which is the Service Corps of Retired Executives, people like that, the first thing I say is, what would you recommend my company would do and not Section 8A? It just irritates me.
Well, it's also really interesting because I was at a tech event, and I may have mentioned this before, a couple months ago, and they said, oh, well, you have female founders. You know, it's so easy for female founders to get money. And so not only is it difficult, more difficult, I mean, you look at if it's a fractional percentage, you know, if you're in the single digit percentage as to how women get money. This myth, though, that women founders have it so easy when it comes to fundraising. And now women founders don't say this, but a lot of other people say, well, you know, there's a lot of people that want to invest in women and there's a lot of women directed funds. But the reality is, if you look across the board at how many funds there are, percentage wise, no, there's not a lot of women driven funds. And I think dispelling some of these stereotypes is what is really important, because I think when people step back and they look at the numbers and they look at, you know, the amount of funding that's been given to women, and then they wonder, you know, well, why aren't there more women founders? And I think it should speak for itself.
And I always tell those people, say, oh, it's so easy to get funding if you're a woman-owned company. Oh, really? What's the names of those people who are giving the funds? Because I'd really like to talk to them.
And then it's crickets.
Yes. All right. Well, we've ranted about that enough. Let's go into something else that really irritates me.
Okay. It's a long list. Let's see which one we draw out of the bingo bucket now.
B4. Okay. That would be the myth of overnight success. I really get irritated with people who, well, I really get irritated with most people, but these particular people who say things like, oh, you've been in business 3 years. Why don't you have 47 million users? There's this myth that people start up companies and then 8 months later, they've got 4 billion users and they're rolling in cash. And yet you hear over and over that, you know, Billy Bob Jones, who's speaking next, is a serial entrepreneur and his latest venture is. And so what that means generally is that Billy Bob has had 2 or 3 false starts. And by false starts, I don't mean he necessarily failed at those earlier ones, but like maybe he started a company and it didn't really take off. So he closed that one and he started another one and it didn't really take off. And now his third company, so he's 5 or 6 years in, and now he started, you know, an amazing ed tech company that sells educational video games that teach math, social studies, and language arts. Oh yeah, that's us. But
say, Billy Bob sounds like a competitor. Let's find him and take him out.
That's right. What's his address? Anyway, those serial entrepreneurs usually didn't have like a bake shop, and then they went into a valet parking app. Shout out to Mike, who tells us to quit dissing valets. This was for you. So really, it's not an overnight success. He did something that was similar, or she did something that was similar, and then iterated and said, okay, well, maybe the computer games that run on the desktop aren't going to be a huge market for us. Let's do apps. And maybe apps aren't going to be a huge market. Let's do Chromebooks. And, you know, it's kind of what we've done, except that we didn't close down the company and say, okay, our new company is making camp. We just iterated those within our company.
Right. Well, I was talking to someone who does another ed tech product, and they've, you know, millions of users. And they were saying, you know, well, we started in 2010. And it was really refreshing to hear, because I think a lot of times it's like, oh, you have millions of users. They've been around for 6 years. So that's twice as long as we've been around. And I think sometimes you get this impression, and I'll talk to them and they'll say, well, you only have, you know, thousands of users. Well, what's that about? You know, that's pretty bad numbers. But the reality is, no, because we've been doing all these things. We've been efficacy testing. We've been making sure that the games actually work instead of putting out a product that might or might not work. And I think a lot of the things that people overlook when you're building something quality is that quality takes time.
Boy, that's a really good quote. We should put that as the title of this podcast instead of Anne-Maria Rants. Quality takes time. Rants from Anne-Maria and words of profound insight from Maria.
I'm all for it. That should be the subtitle to this overall podcast in general.
I was going to say that should be our company vision. Oh, that's a rant for another day. People who waste time on vision statements. We make games that make you smarter. That's our vision. Also, we would like to make money for our investors.
That's another good vision. We want to show them that investing in women entrepreneurs is a really good idea. And we also want to show the people that decided not to invest in us, either because we're women entrepreneurs, or they thought our idea wasn't going to work.
Or they were jerks.
Ha-ha. We want to make them regret not investing in us.
You will rue the day.
See, I think that's one of the things, too, you were talking about is, you know, Schadenfreude, which, since I don't speak German, may be wrong pronunciation, but feel free to tweet at me some kind of better pronunciation guide on Twitter. But, you know, all these people who over the years, and this is one of the things that we were talking about, longevity and the myth of overnight success. But having seen over the last several years, a lot of companies that were supposedly way, you know, greater than us in the eyes of investors or whatever it was, you know, fall by the wayside and no longer exist. And I think that is a testament to what we're doing as well, because the fact that we're still here, I would say, is pretty significant.
That is my anti-rant, which is going to be our next podcast. Things that I really like and think are good, but I'm saving that for next week. So next week is also going to be me and Maria, but in a happy note.
Because people love positivity. That's why women should smile more.
I really like the comment somebody made on Twitter that said, I have a feeling that your leaning in would involve a fist at the end of it.
Maybe your kids are already back in school. They're easing their way back into homework again and it hits you. Or maybe you're gearing up for the start of a new school year when suddenly you're struck with the realization. The entire summer passed and your kids didn't do any math. Between camp and the beach and pool, fractions, multiplication, and division just didn't seem to factor in. Wait, factors? That's a math thing too, right? Don't worry. We've got the perfect way to ease back into math and review what your kids seem to have forgotten over the summer. Seven Generation Games, games that teach math and social studies in a fun gaming environment. Just go to 7generationgames.com/buy to get them today.
This is Sean Stone, and you're listening to More Than Ordinary.
Welcome back to More Than Ordinary, presented by Seven Generation Games. I'm Maria Burns-Ortiz.
And I'm still Anne-Maria DeMars.
And we've ranted plenty through the first part of this podcast, so we figured we will go to the tip where it's a little less ranty, but still lots of fun.
So right after this podcast, I'm heading out to Universal Studios, and I actually spend a good proportion of my almost non-existent leisure time at theme parks. We live in LA, so Universal Studios, Disneyland, and I think this should be a business expense. Are you listening, Donna? Because when people ask us where we get our ideas, I get a lot of them from theme parks. Let me give you an example. You're supposed to say, please do, Maria.
Oh, sorry. Please do.
Okay. Say you go to either Universal Studios, Disneyland, and look up. Look up and you'll see on the second floor, there'll be windows with decorations in them. There might be a balcony with somebody standing out singing. All the way around, you are exposed to this virtual world they're trying to create. And some of it is the big things, you know, the rides, which I would say are analogous to the 3D games that you play in our games. But some of them are the little things, like that up in that third floor window, it shows books, or it's supposed to be Sherlock Holmes' office or something. So when we're designing our games, I'm always trying to put in little touches like that, whether it's putting a Seven Generation Games poster on the wall in the latest game I was doing in the kids' room, or just things that will be a little bit fun. Or paying attention to that detail, having decorations on the wall of the teepee, or having the person who's making the wigwam going out and getting it from a tree and showing the bark on the ground as well as from the tree. All those little details that you see in theme parks that are almost subconscious, but they seem to make a big difference. And so that's one of the places I steal a lot of ideas.
Right. Well, the devil's in the details, so they say. But it's kind of the idea, you're building things, you know, the big parts are for everyone and everyone will notice, but the people that notice the little details, those are the people that it really becomes extra real to them. And there's no harm in putting in this extra detail. You know, maybe people notice it, maybe they don't. But the people that notice it really, really appreciate it, and it brings it more to life.
Well, another idea that I got from the theme parks is they have characters. Like Disney is great about that. And so Derek Landy, who, shout out to him, you should read his Skullduggery Pleasant series. It's super good. He has a new one, Demon Road, that I have not read yet because I don't think it's come out in America yet. But he mentioned when he sat on one of our game design meetings on the importance of character. So now Angie, who's a character in Forgotten Trail, has her own Pinterest account that one of our players created. So that's another thing that we're working on and trying to expand. Anybody wants to help out?
Well, and obviously, so theme parks are a big one, but maybe you don't happen to live in the amazingness that is the greater LA area.
Sucks to be you.
But another thing we're talking about is where we get it from is kind of, I don't know if pop culture is the right answer, but, you know, movies, TV shows, books. I think, you know, we recently watched Book of Life, which is just a stunning visual movie, I would say, you know. And as we were watching, I was just thinking, how can we incorporate elements of this into Aztec? Or how can we, you know, you don't want to rip it off. I always used to say when I was a writer, you don't want to try and write like somebody else, but you can look at what they do that you really like and incorporate that into your work. And I think that's what we try and do, whether it's, you know, movies or even art from, you know, museums or things like that, and see how can we take it and seven-generation gamesify it.
Right. Book of Life, it, you know, it's a kid's movie mostly, so it wasn't Shakespeare as far as the storyline, but the graphics were stunning. And like you, I was looking at that thinking, now how could we include that in our game somewhere, particularly in Aztec? So, yeah, I it's funny when I watch the movies, like I'm so terrible when I watch something like Star Wars, you know, the latest version or whatever, I'm looking at stuff like the special effects thinking, okay, now how could we program that into one of our games?
Well, and this maybe ties a little bit back into the first segment of our podcast, but you were talking about on the way here to come and record, one of the big places that you also find maybe inspiration, but as much inspiration motivation, is your enemies.
Well, enemies in the corporate sense. So when I interact with a company and their customer service is just terrible, I post something on their website, nobody gets back to me, then I start to think, how could that happen in our company? Or could it? And if it could, how can I prevent it from happening? So anything that I see, if I go to their website and I can't find out what operating system this runs on, then I immediately go to our website and look and see if all of our games say which operating system they run on. So yeah, things that really piss me off are a good source of ideas, because then I look at, well, I want our users, our customers, to be happy with us. So how can I not do this? So everybody serves a purpose in life, if only as a bad example.
Exactly. It's kind of one of those things, you draw from what you think really, really works, but you also learn from what other people do that you think is a complete disaster.
Speaking of not complete disasters, Seven Generation Games, games that make you smarter. If you would like to donate one to a child or school, please don't hesitate. Yeah, this month, this week, we didn't need any donations. People just bought games for themselves.
Well, hey, as long as they're using them. Also, this might be the time to start telling people we have Making Camp coming out very, very soon. It's going to be our very first native iOS app. So start getting ready. If you don't have an iPad, now's your chance to go run out and buy one. Because pretty soon it'll be in the App Store and you don't want to miss out.